Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are things in your world?
I'm doing pretty well. My lovely bride, probably just about now, landing in South Africa. So we've got the career thing on.
That's good.
Yeah,
send
we're
her
in good shape on that.
To different countries every couple months.
Well, as long as she holds down that job, I don't have to get one. And I can come in here and have a good time with you. And then, hey, tonight we're going to do the rooftop thing, yeah?
That's right. We will be doing the VIP cocktail party for the Healthcare IT Summit.
So that'll be fun, but probably nothing compared to this morning's segment. It's going to be a lot of fun because this is our Dunwoody Chamber special, and we've got Miss Summers back with us. How are you doing, Sunshine?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
So get us caught up. What's going on this
great.
Month?
Well, a lot of things are going on. We just wrapped up our annual meeting in Gala. It was last Thursday night at Lee Brandt Jewelers. It was fabulous. Great turnout. And tomorrow we have Empire State Pizza and Growlers. Is there a special ribbon cutting? And that's at 1 p.m. And then we have our Young Professionals of Dunwoody, our Y-Pods, we call them. Monthly mixer is Wednesday at 6 p.m. And then we have our Dunwoody Chamber and Heels Women's Group. Luncheon is on the 19th at McKendrick's. And we will be having Jill Smith speak on Following Your Passion. So that's...
Well, you had me at Growlers.
I'm in. You should lead with that next time.
Okay. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, but we never get invited to the McKendricks thing.
Yeah, I know. I
well, why is that?
You're not women.
But I'll tell you that you have influenced our lunches.
Yes, you have.
You know, okay. and breakfast. We have been, since you brought them in here, First Watch, we had breakfast
good.
There.
That's
We've
right.
Been
it's
to
delicious.
Lunch at McKendricks.
Yes.
Alon's is now part of our regular coffee routine and Cafe Intermezzo.
Cafe Intermezzo, yeah.
Perfect.
We've made all the rounds.
Thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome.
How about these folks? Do they serve food or?
They do not serve food.
This is going to be a great segment. You want to introduce our guests for us?
Yes, great. We have Jamie Crawford with Elekta, and she is the Director of Marketing for North America. And Mark Simmons is the senior vice. Mark Simmons is the senior vice president of North America of Elekta.
Wow, we're in pretty high cotton here. Welcome to the show, gang.
Good morning.
Morning.
So, Jamie, let's start with you. How about giving us just kind of a thumbnail sketch overview? What is this company out there trying to do for folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So Elekta, it's been around for quite some time. We are deeply involved with cancer care treatment in specifically neurological disorders as well. So as a whole, Elekta supports folks. We are the second largest manufacturer of linear accelerators. So for those who are listening who may say, what is that?
Yeah, Lee has no idea. Do you even know what a linear accelerator is?
Those are the large machines that actually deliver radiation treatment. So the goal really is to target the cancer and spare as much healthy tissue as possible. So our company is proud to be the manufacturer of those, along with one of our flagship products, which is the Gamma Knife, which Mark will talk a little bit about how that sort of revolutionized brain surgery as a whole. We also support brachytherapy. For those who are not familiar with that, it's really two different things. So for those out there who may have had family members or others affected by cancer, those are the seeds that are placed into the body. They're actually put into the body near the target or the cancer. They irradiate it, helping to reduce it and eliminate it. And we also do high-dose brachytherapy, which is implanting those seeds for a short amount of time and then retracting them from the body, again, irradiating the specific cancer. At the heart of sort of everything that we do is our software. So we provide software which not only manages the cancer center, but also the treatment planning portion as well. So in order to, as I had talked about, really target that tumor and spare as much healthy tissue as possible. That is just a little bit about what we do here at Elekta.
So it sounds like you guys cover everything from the device to the treatment to the whole machines that run the whole operation almost.
Absolutely. Yeah, we like to think of it from everything from diagnostics all the way through to survivorship. So as a patient, you are a cancer patient for life. And so your information, your treatment history, all needs to be captured in one place. And we're proud to be able to provide that.
Now, you guys have been around a while, but you haven't been around in Dunwoody for a while. You're pretty new here in Dunwoody?
We are, yeah. So it's been the last year. So we've been in Norcross for quite some time. Uh-huh. And then recently took up residence at the beautiful terraces right down the street.
So what brought you here? McKendricks? Is that what?
McKendricks, yeah.
And now you're walking distance to Alon's almost?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Well, the decision really was they put a Capitol Grill into perimeter. No. You know, the terraces for us is just perfect. It's centrally located for travelers coming in. If you haven't been to the building, it's got everything from Swan's to Popeye's Kitchen up on the 10th floor. So it's a fabulous location.
So, Mark, you're a grand poobah for North America for this thing almost. Tell us a little bit about your customers. Is it hospitals, clinics? Tell us a little bit about those folks.
Yeah, it's mainly hospital buyers, large groups mm-hmm. of hospitals or individual hospitals. Sometimes it's private clinics. Those are generally the buyers.
Now, is part of your role educating the people in the hospital about the latest and the greatest gadget or changes in the technology? What do you spend your time doing?
That's exactly right. It depends on which country, but which region. But in North America, typically, one of our key roles is to innovate the technology, and we work with research and with various clinics to find better ways of doing the treatments, and just not better ways and more clinical effective ways, but also ways which reduce cost, improve efficiency, safety, those sorts of things. So there's education around those aspects whenever we introduce innovations.
Now, but the technology behind this was extremely innovative, right? Like this is, you're going like literally with like laser accuracy to something that was done in a more... a less efficient way in the past, isn't that right?
That's right. I mean, well, there's many ways to treat cancer. There's surgical approaches. There's chemotherapy, which is a systemic, you know, you treat the whole body with a drug. Or there's radiation or radiation medicine. And what we've done is we've found ways of improving that precision and doing the planning, the simulation, if you like, of the treatment so that we can absolutely optimize where the radiation goes and minimize, you know, radiation
where it doesn't
healthy,
go,
where
right?
It mustn't go.
Exactly.
That's right. That's kind of the idea. And we simulate all of this, and we write all the software and the treatment planning for this to simulate that treatment and then know that there's a good confidence in the treatment. And then it gets exported or sent to the treatment machine, which actually delivers it, rather like a printer.
And then, so what does the doctor have to do?
Oh, lots of things. I mean, clearly, the processes of diagnosis is quite significant.
Right.
They have to find the cancer, right? Understand its progression, the stage of the cancer. Imaging is used extensively. There's biopsies and a whole range of things. And then decide a course of treatment.
Now, the cancer, can you just to visualize what it is it like a glob of something, like the size, like a ball, like a three-dimensional object that... That your kind of radiation can go in there and target it as that ball?
It depends. Most often, yes. It could be a solid mass. But sometimes, for leukemias, for example, aren't a solid mass.
But you have treatments for that?
Typically, that's a systemic treatment, like uh-huh. using drugs.
Like chemo. Right?
Chemo, exactly. But for example, let's say a prostate
right.
cancer. You know, there's two ways of doing that with radiation. You could use seeds.
Right. That's when my dad had that.
Really? Brachytherapy. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And or you could use radiation, external beam radiation. The beams of radiation come externally, and you have to compute how to optimize.
And aim it exactly.
Aim it
right.
exactly right. Because the prostate's, for example, is in a difficult position. You've got the bladder and other
right, there's
organs
things around,
it. Exactly. Yeah. So how do you concentrate the radiation to where you need it?
But isn't that the benefit of the seeds that you can – place them?
Yes, but that's exactly right. You can actually get them into the prostate, but you
right.
can't get seeds in everywhere, right?
For right.
example, how do you treat brain disease and so on?
Yeah. So the analogy to a printer is an interesting one to me. Say more about that.
A very complex printer because, well, there's so many parts to the accelerator. You know, there's the for example, you have to generate the radiation. It's not like cobalt where it's already there.
Right.
You have to turn a plug on and switch the power on and you've got to generate it. Then you've got to be able to control it, you know, and collimate it, what we say collimate, which is, you know, make it come out in a very precise way.
Like the right dosage, the right strength,
and the
power.
Right geometry. So there's two aspects. There's the geometric aspects of the beam and the radiation, right. And there's also the exactly the energy and the dose. And those have to be very carefully controlled, and the machine does that. And then, of course, all the parameters for the machine that set up the geometry and the dose, you know, are real-time settings. So you've got to send it to the machine and let the machine deliver that over a course of time.
And so now, when the patient's on the table, I guess they're on the table laying down, and then your machine is figuring out exactly the right spot, right? Because that's probably the hard part.
Is the doctor saying, be still.
Yeah, don't move.
let me go into a little more detail. I mean, we have two types of treatment. One is radiation therapy, mm-hmm. and the other is radiosurgery. So both use radiation. Mm-hmm. Radiation therapy uses a concept called fractionation, and that is you don't treat the patient in one go. You treat them over a course of many days, many weeks. Breast cancer, for example, would be one example there. And the idea there is that cancer cells are fundamentally damaged. So when you radiate them, they can't fix themselves. But healthy cells can, the DNA can
right.
recover if you don't produce too much radiation. So the idea is you produce just little fractions of radiation. Eventually, the cancer cell is beaten down. But the healthy cells can regenerate and repopulate.
And then are they taking the place of where the cancer cells are?
Correct. That's right. And you sort of shrink the tumor, essentially. In radiosurgery, you're trying to effectively...
excise, right? You're taking
exactly.
it. Exactly. You're killing it all.
You're trying to kill it in one go or,
but
you know,
only
one or two
the bad stuff.
That's right. So with radiosurgery, precision is much more significant. So, for example, on the Gamma Knife, which is you're doing brain surgery, right, or surgery in the head and neck. And... you're talking about very small volumes. So what happens there is you have a fixed spot of radiation where all the intensity is concentrated. And what we do is we have a table that moves the patient around that spot.
Hmm. And sort of, so the patient moves.
Correct. In that situation, yes. So you're sort of blating that target, that tumor, by moving the patient around a very high concentration of radiation.
Wow. I'm trying to envision the first doctor that was told, okay, we're going to do this one a little differently, Doc. Instead of you moving the knife around, we're going to move the patient around you. That's outside the box, huh? Well, but I bet Jamie spends her time outside the box the entire time she's out. I mean, this is – you're out – you've got to market this to doctors that, you know, some of them feel like they've got a pretty good handle on what they're doing already, right?
Absolutely.
What is that conversation like?
You know, I think it's this – industry has changed so much, even in the past 10 to 12 years. You know, it was not only a decade ago where we were looking at imaging, right? So as Mark is talking about treating these patients, we now have the ability to be able to image and to be able to see inside to better target that. And so it, a lot of this, as you mentioned, working with the physicians, is collaborating with them and saying, okay, how do we innovate as a company? How do we come up with new technology that's going to enable you to target better? And at the end of the day, really, you know, help improve those outcomes for the patients. So we work collaboratively with them.
And you have some folks here locally, right? We have some docs and some facilities using the radio surgery stuff.
That's right. I think there are 60 or so facilities in Georgia alone. With respect to the Gamma Knife, we have four in Georgia, but two in Atlanta. St. Joe's and Piedmont Hospital have a Gamma Knife.
Now, the results from using the Gamma Knife are dramatically different than a different way of doing it, or the older way?
That's right. Well, I mean, if you use surgery, for example, you have to make an incision and open up the skull to do brain surgery. And with the Gamma Knife, there's no blood, as it were. You irradiate the patient on one day, and you know, they can be at work the next if they're healthy enough. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as opposed to the other way, how long would the recovery take for the other way?
It could be several weeks. I mean, in terms of, it depends on the surgery. But
right. So it's, I mean, it's night and day difference.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But there's only a couple of these Gamma, there must be.
In the United States, North America, there are about 140 installations.
But there's only two here in Georgia?
There are four in Georgia and two in Atlanta. Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to talk more about simulation. You mentioned this earlier in the conversation. This provides the opportunity to practice these things in a safe environment. And is that the purpose of this? And to kind of show it off and introduce it?
Well, yeah, it's we, you know, provide tools for the symmetrists or physicians to model both the patient, but also the machine and the interaction of the patient with the machine. So, for example, the patient is modeled but through imaging. It could be CT or MR imaging. And then we have models of the machine where we can actually place beams or shots and look at and simulate the dose that will actually be delivered. Now, these require complex computations, a lot of physics involved.
Right.
In geometry.
But that's part of what your software provides?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's one aspect of our software. And then we have the practice management software, which, you know, deals with patient scheduling and managing the clinic and recording data and verifying.
Because
data.
You need a clinic to just specialize in this type of equipment and this type of software?
It's really the radiation oncology department of a hospital or a separate clinic that focuses on radiation treatments, yes.
But they have, in this Dunwoody office, you have this Innovation Learning Center. Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
We do, sure, yeah. It's called the Learning and Innovation Center. We call it the LINC for short. What it does is really provide a number of courses and curriculum for, you know, folks in the industry to come in and be able to learn how to use the Elekta products. Everything Mark talked about, from simulation to training to, you know, if you ever get the chance to go over there, to go behind the linear accelerator and just look at the complexity. So, you know, if something happens to, you know, from an engineering standpoint, you know, downtime at the center, you can actually go behind there and get in the nuts and bolts of it. So it's about 25,000 square feet dedicated to learning.
Now,
the Elekta products.
So do you have the actual equipment that the doctor would use so they can touch it? And
That's right.
Yeah. And we actually have a live linear accelerator. So we don't treat patients, but we do. But we do everything but that so that they're able to simulate the treatment. It's actually set up to mirror that of a cancer center.
It's not like when you go to the barber college and you get a little cheaper haircut or a free haircut for the ones that are learning. They don't do that.
They have a different way.
Every time we ask Jamie a question, and the same is true for Mark, but particularly for Jamie, I know your eyes just light up. You're so passionate. I got to learn more about your backstory. Did you start out selling tongue depressors and moved your way through there? Tell us a little bit about your past.
Interesting. I actually started selling out light bulbs for a company here in Atlanta. GE is located here, and you know, somewhere 10 years later, got a call from a company called Elekta, and I asked, well, what do you do? And I started looking at it and reading about their mission, you know, and We Care for Life is one of the things that we talk about. And it was just so empowering and so passionate. And I think that you'll find that the more folks that you talk to about Elekta, just the mission to be able to provide this innovation and this treatment, not just here in North America, but across the globe. It's exciting to come to work.
That's awesome.
Beats selling light bulbs.
It does, yeah.
Now, what's it like when a doctor who's never seen this in action goes into that learning center and then they get to see it actually operating? It must be like a light bulb probably does go off for them to see the different possibilities of how they can use it and how many more people they can help.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't been in one yet, they call it the bunker. So this is where the machine actually sits, and you know it's got these about 2 foot thick doors that sit between it, and it's quite an experience. And when you go in there, Mark had talked about, you know, in this center, it's not just the linear accelerator, it's all of the treatment planning, all of the accessories that you would need to be able to go through the course of treatment. It really does give a great sort of picture of what you can do with the equipment.
So, Mark, tell us a little bit about the unique challenges of being involved with an organization that is, you guys are pretty far spread. I mean, you're truly a global organization. Aren't there some cultural challenges in communicating all this innovation, especially at the pace that you...
I can see Jamie smiling. Yeah, it's a big challenge, but, you know, a healthy one, because we've got such a range of... We have 40 offices worldwide and a range of cultures and people, and they all bring something different, you know, in terms of diversity to the company. And of course, the company's headquartered in Stockholm, so the Swedish culture, which is, you know, very nice, very pleasant. We are organized as a matrix. So, you know, there's sort of regions and then business areas or product areas that matrix together. So that's a challenge sometimes. But I think as you get to a large enough company, that's the best way to organize because you can exploit all the benefits across the matrix. And we have different challenges across the regions as well. In emerging markets, for example, you know, the issue is they don't have the same level of treatment and access to treatment that we have here in North America. So one of our challenges is to sort of bring that technology and that learning. And often the challenge there is education and training. I mean, the physicians need to be brought up to a level. The practitioners need to be brought up to a level where they can actually understand how to exploit this technology and learn from the experiences of others.
Now, is the challenge now just educating more physicians about the value of this, or is it now common knowledge that this is a good way of treating patients?
Oh, it's pretty well understood.
Established, and then it becomes a matter of them doing some sort of an ROI. Is this worth investing in as a hospital or as a medical center?
In other parts of the world, it's not so profit-focused. It's in socialized medicine areas.
So it's more of helping the most people in the most efficient way?
Exactly. So efficiency is a key word. Patient throughput. I mean, for example, if compared to Canada to the U.S., for example, in Canada, the major drivers are cost per patient because the revenue is fixed, so you want to keep the cost per patient down. Throughput, because often they have backlogs of patients to treat, so they've got to get patients through quickly. And then, of course, clinical efficacy and quality of care.
Right, they don't want them to keep coming back for the same.
Correct, yeah.
So, Beth, I mean, how exciting it must have been for you and your crew when you knew this group was coming
to Dunwoody. Absolutely, wow. And I have toured the training facility, and it is amazing. It truly is. I had I went to the grand opening and had I think he was a graduate from Georgia Tech. Gave me the tour, and
are you Gamma Knife certified?
No,
not hardly.
But I would think that the doctors, I mean, truly have a lot of trust in your equipment. I mean, they would have to, kind of like you're saying. It's like they can't really control it. It's this machine that's moving around this patient. The patient moving, and it seems like to me they would have to have a lot of trust in Elekta and what they're providing.
Well, I'll tell you, just as a consumer, I feel better educated. I'm feeling a little bit better about growing old, so that's one nice thing about this conversation. But as a consumer, I feel like if I ever find ourselves in that situation, I'm going to ask about this technology, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things, too, that you can do at the LINC, the Learning and Innovation Center, we really designed it with three targets in mind. So the first was our users, right? So how do we make sure that the users of this technology are trained to really deliver safe and effective treatment? The second thing really was our employees. So we do a lot of our employee training down at the LINC and between the auditoriums at the terrace. But thirdly, which I think is kind of interesting, is we've designed it for the community as well. So you could actually go into the LINC and you could interact via iPod, via video, and learn not only about Elekta, but also about cancer in general.
So now, as the this is the North America headquarters?
That's right. Yeah.
So now you have doctors coming in from all over the country to come and tour and to play around with your toys?
And the world.
And the world, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that brings more people to Dunwoody. Perfect.
Not just doctors, engineers.
Physicists, radiation therapist.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a job title earlier. Did you, a symmetrist?
Dosimetrist. Sorry. Yeah, that's the person who...
I thought you said dosimetrist. Dosimetrist, that's how you say it. No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's right. Those are the folks that really do the simulations and worry about the dose and how the dosage and how to prescribe.
So now when you're going to a hospital, what is the conversation you're having with them? I mean, when you show them how powerful it is and how it works so well, what's their hang-up? Like, why are they choosing not to do it? And
I think generally they are choosing to do it. I think, you have to realize that in North America, particularly, it's a pretty mature market. There's lots of supply, lots of centers and hospitals of high repute. So it's essentially replacement of technology, and as innovation moves forward.
Right.
One of the key discussion points is how are we innovating, and that innovation is not just who's got the best widget. It's more about how are we managing costs with healthcare reform and so on? How are we handling the whole safety and the cost and efficiency issue as well?
And I think if I may add too, you know, at the end of the day, they're looking for a partnership. So they're not looking. This isn't something you buy for 1 to 2 years and then you replace it. You know, you're holding on to these linear accelerators for a while. So, you know, they're really looking for someone that is going to be collaborating and innovating with them, you know, well, 10, 15 years from now.
So what's next for you guys? Where are you going to be putting your energy and effort? Are you going to try to just get it to more facilities, to more docs? You're going to obviously be focusing some energy on this Learning Innovation Center.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a key driver for us in this market, and we're looking to leverage that globally as well. So education and training is a huge component of what we do. Mark, do you want to hit on the emerging markets?
Yeah. Again, they're somewhat evolving in terms of the innovation level, and so as they're sort of moving on to the higher level procedures.
What are you defining as an emerging market?
Good question. You know, parts of Asia, Vietnam.
So that's your role includes that?
Yes. Well,
Do you have somebody like you in those markets?
We have people like us in those markets, yeah. But I've actually been involved in some of the business development activities, particularly in China. So, so you know, the issues there are, you know, they're very underserved in terms of the amount of equipment per the population. I mean, it's factors of 10, maybe 100 different.
And you can't just plop one up there without an infrastructure to support
that's
it.
That's right. And where they have the infrastructure, I mean, they're treating like 10 times the number of patients through. So the quality of care ultimately gets compromised because there's a limit to how fast you can do this and how effective you can do this. So it's about the whole process. It's about the teamwork in the clinic and you know, bringing people up to the level of technology. But as Jamie mentioned, I think a lot of it's also, you know, the whole issue of partnership and how we work with the local societies in cancer and support their goals locally. So it's a sort of grassroots sort of support.
Has the company always emphasized this partnership and this collaboration and everybody in this together kind of?
Absolutely.
Just as Jamie got on board. Jamie brought that.
Is that part of the corporate culture?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you follow on, Jamie, but I think a lot of the technology we developed were developed with clinics. I mean, I spent, when I started my career, I was an engineer developing linear accelerated technology, and I spent, you know, a whole year in the clinic developing technology with clinical partners.
But with this end in mind, that's what you were doing this for?
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you look at, Mark talked just about some of the markets that we're going into. You look at some markets, just throw some numbers out at you, but, you know, look at Mexico, over 117 million people with only 100 treatment machines.
Oh, wow.
The ability to make an impact on a global scale is, it's astronomical. And we're well positioned to be able to bring that care globally.
So when an area puts one of these machines in there, how many people can they treat now that machine's there?
I mean, it really depends on
If you're in China, they run the machine 24 hours a day, and you know, they're treating,
line up,
I don't know, 100 patients a day. You know, it's crazy. But typically, you know, 30, 40 patients a day on an accelerator. One of the challenges of emerging markets is that you have now people becoming, their incomes are growing.
Right.
So now you have, you know, a subset of the population that wants very advanced care and is prepared to pay for it.
That's right.
But the majority, you know, need care as well, access to care. So there's this sort of internal challenge of, you know, how can you support the highest end and the lowest end and
yeah, and you've heard Mark talk a little bit just about the different types of treatments that we offer. That's one of the great things we think about Elekta, right? We just don't have these linear accelerators for radiation therapy. We're also treating the brain with Gamma Knife, and we're also providing brachytherapy. So more often than not, cancer treatment isn't just one of those. It's a combination with, you know, surgery, chemotherapy. And so being able to provide that depth is going to help to be able to provide, you know, more access.
Well, and you have the practice management software to govern the infrastructure so that you can really manage all of this effectively. And that's not to be dismissed, because if you're not doing that well, then your toys, as Lee put it, aren't being put to their best use, right?
Absolutely. And from a patient perspective, you know, when you're going through this, it's difficult enough having the diagnosis and then having to go through treatment. Mm. You don't want to be showing up at a center and them asking you, well, what was the most recent treatments you've had, or what was your diagnosis?
Not a good sign.
No, you want that there at the fingertips of the physicians.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you both must sleep really well at night. This has to be incredibly rewarding work. I'm sure it's hard. I'm sure it's very challenging. I'm sure it can be frustrating at times, but boy, you must feel good about the work you're doing out in the world, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been in this industry for 32 years now, I think, and love every minute of it.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a newcomer, so it's my 5-year anniversary this month. But yeah, it's I can't think of any place else to be.
Where can our listeners go to learn more?
You can learn more at www.elekta.com.
All right, and before we wrap, Beth, let's make sure that we get coordinates for Dunwoody Chamber.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you all for being here. And I did want to mention, we do have our ribbon cutting for Empire State Pizza and Growlers tomorrow at 1.
Where are they at?
They are off Winter Chapel Road. It's 5000 Winter Chapel Road. And then we have our Young Professionals group that meets this Wednesday at 6 p.m. and Dunwoody Chamber and Heels next Tuesday. And McKendricks. And also wanted to mention, because right after Thanksgiving, we have our first Monday on December 2nd, and that is at the Sproul Center. And December 3rd is our coffee connection.
All right.
Bring the students in. Thank you.
And the website for Dunwoody Chamber?
dunwoodycommerce.org.
Don't worry, Jamie. I'm not going to let you get upstaged by the growlers. I don't want that to... Because I know how that can happen. It has been an absolute delight having both of you in the studio.
Thank
I hope
you.
You'll come back and get us caught up on all the new stuff you're doing from time to time. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guests this morning, Beth Summers with the Dunwoody Chamber, Mark Simmons and Jamie Crawford with Elekta, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.